ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 6, text 32, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Atma upamyena sarvatra, samam pashyati yorjuna, sukham vayadi vadukham, sayogi paramo mataha. Atma upamyena sarvatra, samam pashyati yorjuna, sukham vayadi vadukham, sayogi paramo mataha. He is a perfect yogi who, by comparison to his own self, sees the true equality of all beings in both their happiness and their distress, O Arjuna. Purport. One who is Krishna conscious is a perfect yogi. He is aware of everyone's happiness and distress by dint of his own personal experience. The cause of the distress of a living entity is forgetfulness of his relationship with God. And the cause of happiness is knowing Krishna to be the supreme enjoyer of all the activities of the human being, the proprietor of all lands and planets, and the sincerest friend of all living entities. The perfect yogi knows that the living being, who is conditioned by the modes of material nature, is subjected to the threefold material miseries due to forgetfulness of his relationship with Krishna. And because one in Krishna consciousness is happy, he tries to distribute the knowledge of Krishna everywhere. Since the perfect yogi tries to broadcast the importance of becoming Krishna conscious, he is the best philanthropist in the world, and he is the dearest servitor of the Lord. Nachatasman manushyeshu kaschin me priyakritamaha. In other words, a devotee of the Lord always looks to the welfare of all living entities, and in this way he is factually the friend of everyone. He is the best yogi because he does not desire perfection in yoga for his personal benefit, but tries for others also. He does not envy his fellow living entities. Here is a contrast between a pure devotee of the Lord and a yogi interested only in his personal elevation. The yogi who has withdrawn to a secluded place in order to meditate perfectly may not be as perfect as a devotee who is trying his best to turn every man toward Krishna consciousness. So, for the last few days, I've been speaking on the desires that devotees have expressed for their future life. Devotees' prayers, as recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam, Mukundamala Stotra, Chaitanya Bhagavat, as recorded in the prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada's own stated desire, and I also touched on my thought of joining Srila Prabhupada in future also. Now another perspective is, apart from thinking about, well, what will happen to me in future, is to think what will happen to everyone else in future. This is or at the present time also. This is the purport of the verse which we just read, that we see in this world, or we personally experience, that because I'm a living being, I have consciousness, and I suffer and enjoy in this world, well, so does everyone else. And I'm not more important than anyone else. I should be concerned about the happiness and distress of others as much as myself. Of course, in this material world, the happiness is extremely limited. It is ephemeral, means it doesn't last very long. And the happiness has such a bad quality that it simply sets us up for more distress, that's all. There's no real happiness. Happiness in this world is perceived as relief from distress, or one gets a little happiness, then one has to suffer again. And because one had a little feeling of happiness, then he regrets more the suffering he has to undergo. For instance, someone who is in poverty suffers due to that. But they adjust their mind to it because they're born in that situation and they don't know anything else apart from that. But someone who's born in riches, if he loses everything and becomes poor, he suffers more. So because he had some happiness, then when distress comes, he suffers more. But actually the whole situation is full of distress. And a devotee should see this. A concerned devotee should see this. Yesterday also I spoke on how mostly people, when they understand the fact of suffering in this world, they become interested in liberation from it. And even in the Vaishnava Sampradayas, they consider moksha to be the ultimate goal of all spiritual practices, and even of rendering devotional service. And that would seem to be substantiated by the Bhagavad Gita itself, in which Krishna's final instruction, Savadhaman Parityajamamekam Sharanam Rajaham Tva Savapapebhyo Moksha Yishami Masucha. His instruction is to give up all forms of worldly religiosity. Take shelter in me only. I will deliver you. Moksha Yishami. I will give you moksha. I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So moksha would seem to be the goal, but for the Gauriyas, for the Gauriya Vaishnavas, they see prem, Krishna prem, as the ultimate goal. Krishna Vishayak prema pancham purusharta jaha age chuna tula chari purusharta. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that prem, Krishna prem, pure love in relationship to Krishna, that is the fifth goal of human life. Generally we hear about the four goals, the Chaturvarga, which are dharma, artha, kama and moksha, sometimes put in different order. Dharma, which can loosely be translated as religiosity. Artha, economic development. Kama, sense indulgence. And moksha, liberation. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching is that prema is the highest goal. Sometimes, especially in Bengal, I used to go to many public meetings in which mostly religious meetings, in which there would be various speakers, and we would often, people would get up, and usually politician, this kind of person type, and they would say that, well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching is prema dharma, the religion of love. So it's a very good plank for a politician, especially in Bangladesh, when speaking to a group of Hindus. The speaker himself might be a Muslim politician, but They know that this will be appreciated by the Hindus, and with tension between Muslims and Hindus, and the Hindus being on the receiving end of it, of the any action of that, mostly, oh no, mostly means 99.9% of the time. So the idea, prem dharma, but not specifying that Krishna vishayak prem. Prem is centered on Krishna. If we say prem dharma without qualifying that, then we tend to think of love in terms general love of mankind, and that's another word that we used to hear again and again: manavta, humanity, humanitarianism. I guess humanitarianism is probably the best translation of that. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching is love of Krishna, which expands to love of all living beings. So Krishna Prem is clearly established as the goal of Gaurya Vaishnava sadhana by all the acharyas following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And of course Srila Prabhupada upheld that, but he stressed also that we should not simply be concerned with our own deliverance, but we should be concerned with the deliverance of others also. And in this regard, he would quote Prahlad Maharaj, Prayena Deva Munaya Svavimukti Kama Monam Charanti Vijanena Parata Nishta Shochita Tovi Mukacheta Sa Indri Arta Maya Sukhaya Paramudvaha Tovi Murhan. Prahlad Maharaj said that there are many saintly persons, but they're mostly all off in the forests and hills performing the silence, the vow of silence, being interested in and desirous of their own liberation from the world. But as far as I am concerned, I'm very concerned about those who are inimical to you and have accepted happiness to be happiness in this material world, and therefore are being crushed by the weight of Maya. They're all just big fools. So that was Prahlad Maharaj's concern, that to preach, to try to spread Krishna consciousness. Also, Naivod Vijay Paradaratya Vaitaranya Astvadvira Gayana Mahamrita Magna Chittam. No, that comes so cheated though. What's the Prayena Deva Munaya Svimukti Kamonam Charanti Vijanesh Aparata Nishtha? What's the next part of that? Naitan Vihaya Kripana Vimamoksha Eko Nanyang Tvadasya Brahmato Nanyang Tvadasya Sharanang Brahmato Nupashe. So he said, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not interested only in my own liberation, but I'm interested to try to help others also. Then the other, I got mixed up there. So Naivodvij, he says, as far as I'm concerned, I'm very happy with my own, with remembering you. Please switch off this. What's this? Cell phones? What is that? What's that? Yeah. I'm very concerned with these fools and rascals who don't turn off their cell phones when they come to class. How will they be delivered? They're so attached, they can't do without it 24 hours a day. So I'm fully happy myself, he said, I'm fully happy remembering your qualities and glorifying them. But I lament for others who are not in Krishna consciousness. And therefore he wants to spread Krishna consciousness. That was Srila Prabhupada's motive. Everyone has a motive for everything they do. The motive can be pure or impure. Mostly people have impure motives. They want sense gratification, gross or subtle. Srila Prabhupada's motive in preaching Krishna consciousness coming to the Western world, various motives. One was to obey the order of his guru, do his duty in that regard, as he used that term, duty, in regard to this. And out of compassion for others, to deliver them from suffering in this material world. So we should also be very concerned with that, trying to help others come out of the darkness of ignorance. Now this prayana deva munayasva vimukti kama monam charanti vijane. Vijane means the kind of transcendentalists, they go away from the world to a place where there are no people, to get away from all these disturbing people. So that might be thought then, what are we doing out here in the country? We should be in the city where all the people, and we can preach to them. But this kind of project is also required. Srila Prabhupada also wanted that too. One thing is to the boys, they should live a sheltered life, sheltered away from all the allurements of the city, all the maya of the city. Let them grow up happily, knowing nothing at this stage but Krishna, Hari Kirtan. Let them be absorbed in that. Let them get a strong basis without being diverted with having to live in an atmosphere full of materialistic people. And householders also, they're suffering, struggling so much in this world. Just to live, it's so difficult for most people. Let them come, live peacefully, happily, chant Hare Krishna, and show others how it's possible to live in this world. We don't have to live in the hellish cities. You can live by the grace of Krishna without excessive needs. Just live very simply and be happy chanting Hare Krishna. So this is one kind of preaching also. Protecting the cows. It's a very great project because it goes against everything that modern society stands for. But then modern society, it's a complete mess. We're talking about suffering. Those who follow the news, I know those of you who live here probably don't follow the news, but if we just look west a little, over in what's called the Middle East, that's it's a really Eurocentric term. In Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria especially, and other countries, it's just total chaos, fighting and killing, completely horrible situation. And we may think, well, what can we... Naturally, we should feel disturbed that there's such a horrible situation where people, they can't, people just want to go around, they just want to live their lives normally, but they can't. Oh, and then the list goes on. If we can talk about in Palestine and Libya and Egypt and Nigeria, simply very disturbed situations in all these places. It can be here tomorrow also. Actually, for hundreds of years, India was very disturbed with all invasions this way and the other way, and it's a very unstable situation. So that can happen again here also. We may wonder, well, what can we do to help? What can we do? Should we parachute ourselves into Syria and then what? You just get your head cut off, that's all. By someone. what can we do? Well, there are Arabic books being distributed in America, so that's one way they can get the books. There are many Arabs in America. They're mostly Christians. Not all Arabs are Muslims by any means. But also, these activities of attempting to establish Varnashram Dharma, simple living and high thinking. Prabhupada said 50% of my work to be done, book distribution. These activities, they're meant for Tatvag Visargo Janataga Viplavaha. They're meant for making a revolution in the misguided lives of a sinful population. So although it might just seem, well, just cut off somewhere in the middle of nowhere and just singing Hare Krishna, but it's supposed to show a better way of life to people who have no idea that it's possible to live very peacefully, healthily, and happily chanting Hare Krishna and taking shelter of Krishna. People think that you have to have a job, you have to have money, and in this way they become slaves of the culture which binds them, ties up their whole life in working, and anxiety. So these programs are required also. It's not that they're not meant for preaching. We should remember that also. It's not an escape program. It's not that we're making a country club where we can all live very peacefully and just chant Hare Krishna. Well, in one sense, yes, we are doing that, but it's also meant for showing an example of ideal society to the whole human civilization, which is just getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And it seems there's no end. There's no end to this degradation and suffering, and we should be concerned. Of course, not only the humans, there are also the animals, the birds. There's so many of them being killed every day all over the world. We may be shocked at the horrors going on in the Middle East, but actually it's only very little karmic reaction compared to what we should expect from the ongoing slaughter of animals, daily slaughter of animals. We can only expect the world situation to become more confused, more violent, as a result of the fructifying reactions to gross sinful activities performed on a massive scale. It requires great education that people can understand these points. At the present time in India, those who are up with the news also, there's a lot of controversy arising over beef bans. The people should not be allowed to eat beef. And there's a lot of certain state governments are trying to oppose this, or they're making laws, and then there's opposition to this. But then it requires education also, to try to convince people that to kill animals, that's the title of one of Dr. Sahadev Das's books, to kill cows means to end human civilization. That's actually a quote from Srila Prabhupada, and it's a powerful quote, and he used it as the title of one of his books. So that's actually a fact. We can't have peace in human society as long as there is animal slaughter going on. What to speak of mass animal slaughter? Even to kill one cow is a great sin. What to speak of killing thousands every day in this country alone? So this education is required, and it may not be easy because people are trained in the so-called scientific way, and they don't see, because they're trained to think in a certain way, they don't see any correlation between animal killing and the suffering of human beings. They don't find any scientific link, which is another reason why we have to train children and adults also to understand, yes, there is very definitely a link. It is sinful to have slaughterhouses for the mass slaughter of animals. It is sinful, and a reaction will come. People cannot be happy as long as animals are being wantonly slaughtered like this. So this education is required. We require an atmosphere for that also. And it's difficult, inasmuch as our devotees are coming from a background of this mundane education, and it's entered very deeply into our psyche. Srila Prabhupada spoke very strongly because he could see, he had the eyes by which to see, he could see through the eye of Shastra. Therefore, he could understand this whole civilization is simply causing so much suffering, and therefore he aggressively pronounced the truth that human life is meant for God realization. It doesn't matter whether you have motor cars, highways, internet, all these different things. At the end of life, we have to remember Krishna. And for that, we need to cultivate Krishna consciousness without being diverted to so many other things. But people's whole way of thinking is very deeply influenced by this, and the whole society, the education system trains us to be slaves, thinking that I have to get a job, otherwise I can't exist. And so it becomes difficult that even there's a saying, Tejas Prabhu, my godbrother, who was personally instructed by Srila Prabhupada to start a Kisan movement throughout India. And Kisan is Hindi for farmer. So he often quotes this. He doesn't coin the saying himself, but he said that you can bring the man from the city to the country, but you can't get the city out of the man, even though he's in the country. Something like that. That people bring their city consciousness with them. I came to the country, and we need all the facilities of the city. And then the country just becomes like the city also. It's a certain kind of consciousness that we need this, and otherwise we can't live properly. And it's been equated with civilization. People think that it's civilized to live in the modern way. Actually, it all depends on oil. that's another reason why. That's the main reason why, at least immediate political reason why the Middle East is in chaos, because there's so much oil is concentrated there, and that oil is required for all the different countries to run on their technologically based civilization. So they're very concerned that they want to have control over that oil, and therefore there's so much fighting and politics, and so much is going on. So it's all limited anyway by time, because anyway this oil, when it runs out, then they'll have all these super highways, and you might, if you happen to be next to a super highway in the future, you might see one bullock cart every 2 hours going plop, plop, plop along the road. There won't be any cars zooming by or in a traffic jam also. That even in America, you'll see roads 6 lanes each side, and both sides fully traffic jammed. such big roads, and but so many cars that it's all a big traffic jam. So this whole so-called civilization is simply causing unnecessary distress to everyone. Everyone is in anxiety. So these projects are also meant to, out of compassion for the people who have no idea that you can live happily, depending on the land, the cows, and Krishna. They have no idea. So it's supposed to demonstrate it for such people. Of course, it is happening, and in America especially, that quite a few young people who have well-educated with promising careers ahead of themselves, they just cut out of the whole system, buy some land in the country, and go and live there. Very simply. Of course, in much agricultural land in America is significantly cheaper than in India. I was surprised to find out. You can buy land in rural Texas or Florida much cheaper than you can buy it in Telangana. Agricultural land. And I'm not, if you translate the rupees into dollars, it's still less than half the price. So, whatever reason for that might be, maybe because this country's smaller and is a much bigger population. As America is a huge country, much less population than this. Lots of lands, no one's working it. So it can be bought fairly cheaply. And some devotees are also thinking, I just save some money, buy some land, and just move out. So even without Krishna consciousness, many people in the Western world are doing that. I just think I can have a better life. I don't need to live with all this anxiety. Whoosh, whoosh, society, as Prabhupada said. Don't need it. Can live peacefully. Of course, they're not devotees, so they'll also have some alternative, what do they call this? Alternative energy. That's another kind of maya. Solar panels, and they can't live without their electricity. So they have to have this, and then they'll find out how to hunt and kill animals and all this kind of thing. So we're not going to do that. Even this alternative energy, we're not interested in that. Just live as simply as possible. Even there may be some hardship in that. Some you may think, well, why bother with? We can buy some gas stove and bring a gas canister. Yeah, and then you bring this and you bring that, and then in the end, it's you start off with a village and you end up with another little city. And you have to pay for the gas canister, which means you have to get some money from somewhere. So the whole simple living and high thinking goes out with it. So it's a great challenge, no doubt, and not many devotees seem to understand this, but it is our duty also. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he went to the Western countries on the order of his guru. It's his duty, he has to do it. That was his feeling. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada gave us this mandate to establish these communities, and it's our duty as disciples. It's difficult, no doubt. Just like for Srila Prabhupada, it would have been easier to sit in Vrindavan, and he had no anxiety, as he said himself. He could sit there and just live there and be happy and chant Hare Krishna and go back to Godhead. But he took the trouble of going to the Western countries, and it was a lot of trouble, no doubt about it. But he took that anxiety for the sake of, establishing Krishna consciousness in the Western world for the benefit of others on the order of his guru. So we have his order to establish these communities for the betterment of human society. It's a great challenge, no doubt. And it may seem very almost impossible to do it, and just as Srila Prabhupada was, before he went to the West, So many people say, why are you bothering? It's a stupid idea. What's the point? They thought it was foolish. And from the external point of view, it may have seemed very foolish. What's he going to do? He has no money, no influence, no friends. What's he going to do, going to America, telling them to change their whole way of life? But he did it because he had great faith in the holy name and in the order of his guru. So we have a very great challenge ahead of us with these gurukuls, varnashram. There have been some setbacks, no doubt, and no doubt there will be more. As Srila Prabhupada, when he went to the Western countries, not that immediately everything started happening, but he went through many setbacks and difficulties, and he's a great pure devotee, Paramahamsa, and we are who we are, so we can expect that we may have to struggle a lot, no doubt, and it may be easier just to think, well, why bother? We can chant Hare Krishna anywhere, so why bother with all of this? But it is our duty, on the order of Srila Prabhupada, to do so. Anyway, Hare Krishna. I spoke this kind of thing many times here and in other places. Time to time we should think of this. But anyway, we're talking about it's very difficult, but actually it is very happy also. As devotees are experiencing. Hare Krishna. Any question, please? Comment? No. Oh, all right. So we're going to have the...
Sometimes devotees take Prabhupada's allowances that, oh, Prabhupada allowed electricity. Some quotes are there like that.
Yeah, we often hear time, place and circumstance used to promote one's own understanding. The first thing is Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chete Te Korea Aika Ana Kare Hamane Asha. Once one has understood the mission of the Guru and made it his life and soul, then there may be some consideration of time, place and circumstance. But if one is thinking of how to make some compromise with the material energy and cites time, place and circumstance, and that's simply cheating. You can always find some kind of... If one is looking for it, one can find some kind of excuse for doing anything. Many years ago in Bangladesh, a godbrother of mine, he would regularly rise at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I told him, come on, you can't do this. Prabhupada told us to rise by 4 o'clock at the latest. And he said, well, Prabhupada also said his father used to rise late. So he found some reason, some excuse to disobey the order of his guru in this regard. So there's always... There's always some argument you can make to do anything, practically. Really, really anything. Adolf Hitler, he made a whole manifesto by which killing Jews was justified. En masse killing of Jews. So it wasn't that he just said, okay, let's kill the Jews, but he had a whole manifesto with reasoning and this and that. Of course, it's completely perverse, but well, it did appeal to many people. Otherwise, he couldn't have done what he did. So I'm just making the point here by giving an extreme example that it's possible to justify anything, but we have to see what is Srila Prabhupada's actual intention. And it's quite clear, actually, if we want to see it. If we don't, then we won't. Which is why I'm making this book, The Mood and Mission of Srila Prabhupada, to try to make it clear what is Srila Prabhupada's intention. But that may not be very popular. Just like I made this book, Women, Masters and Mothers, and it's very clear there what the direction of our movement should be in terms of gender roles, but it's not popular. And I just got news yesterday that there are lady devotees coming up and shouting, and they've got the Tamil president to stop that book being sold. I doubt if any of them have read the book. But it's not popular. Many of the things Prabhupada wanted to introduce is not popular. And even his own supposed to be disciples don't want to accept it. But still we have to push on with what Srila Prabhupada wanted, despite so much opposition. So, it was supposed to be this Annaprashana of the girl. Is that done for girls? I was just thinking about that. Because we hear the only sanskar for girls is marriage. But then on the other hand, they do have Simantonayana, and they have their hair parted. So I don't know if it's done for girls or not. Sometimes they ask me to do this, the first writing. What's that called? Aksharabhyas. There's another name for it also. Vidyaramba. For girls. Girls. It's not for girls. As far as I know, it's not for girls. Then you become all offended. And I'm not sure if Annaprashana is meant for girls at all. I'll ask Bharatchandra. He's the great sanskar researcher. Yeah, okay. You go ahead, sir. What? What says?
Rupa Goswami says.
Everything should be seen in relation to Krishna. So then why we want to reject few things and why we want to accept
things? Everything should be seen in relation to Krishna. Why do we want to? Reject the cities. Why do we want to accept some things and reject others? Well, that's Rupa Goswami says, anasaktasya vishayan yatham upayanjataha nirbandha krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagyam uchyate. Without being attached to objects of this world, one should see their usefulness and engage them in the service of Krishna. That is called applied detachment. And there's also another statement which is included in Haribhaktivilas of Sanatana Goswami, anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam, to accept everything favorable for Krishna consciousness and to reject everything unfavorable. So there is also consideration of what is favorable and what is unfavorable. Regarding these communities, Srila Prabhupada said, we want to create a favorable situation for practicing Krishna consciousness. So, although things can be used in the service of Krishna, but there's a question of degree also. We're not going to maintain slaughterhouses, for instance. We'll have a Krishna conscious slaughterhouse. No. Now that's there in Islam and Judaism, although some Jewish scholars say that actually the it's supposed to be in the temple in Jerusalem that the animals are killed only, so you can't kill them anywhere else and have kosher meat, and it's supposed to be kosher meat is supposed to be without any blood, So that's why they drain the animal of blood, but some must remain. So it's not possible actually to have fully kosher meat. Kosher means food which is allowed for Jews to eat, because it's killed, the animals are killed according to the allowed system. So Srila Prabhupada also likened the mundane education to slaughterhouses. So it is possible to live in the cities and be Krishna conscious, but it's not a very favorable situation. As we see, that the great majority of initiated devotees today are householders who live in the cities, and they don't have proper time for sadhana. Many of them don't chant their 16 rounds properly. They don't have time for a full morning program. What to speak of an evening program? It's not a favorable situation for Krishna consciousness. As I've several times quoted about, it must have been about 2 years ago in Tamil Nadu, one devotee who had moved from the city to the farm with his family, he said to me that, well, it seems in many ways to be more difficult here than in the city. I said, yes, that's true. But on the other hand, when you were living in the city, did you have full morning and evening kirtan and class and opportunity to chant your rounds and live only with devotees? He said, no, I didn't have any of those things. I used to go to the temple once a week and just try to chant my rounds as best I could. So it's clearly a much better position for those who are living this hectic, extremely stressed life in the cities. It's a much better position for them to practice Krishna consciousness. They have time to do so, and they have association with others who are also interested in the other thing, in the Krishna consciousness. Whereas if you're at work, you can't talk about Krishna in some job or office or factory or whatever it is. So it's creating a favorable situation. It is possible to be Krishna conscious in the city. It's not impossible. But this is a favorable situation, whereas that is not a very favorable situation. It's definitely a more favorable situation. Who did he tell? Yeah, he told who? If you say told, you have to say he told someone. Told us, told me, told someone else.
So he told that...
Told who? You learned Indian English very well.
He said that Krishna's planet is known as Goloka, means the planet of cows.
Krishna's planet is known as Goloka, the planet of cows.
So, but those who are living in the city, they are not thinking about cows at all. So, then he told that Krishna...
Told who?
He said that Krishna, he is every day meditating about cows.
Yeah, Krishna lives with cows.
So if we are not thinking about cows, how he would think about us?
Oh, I see, that's a good point. Krishna's always thinking about cows, so if we're not thinking about cows, how will we think that Krishna will think about us? Yeah, it's a central point of Krishna conscious culture. Central point. But actually, to establish cow protection is not just a matter of making laws and making goshalas, but we have to change the consciousness of the people, because cows at the present time are an economic unit. So they become economically non-viable after a short time. So in terms of economics, it makes sense to kill cows, if you think just in terms of money. So the whole, to establish cow protection on a solid basis, the whole consciousness and direction of society has to change. It's not just by laws it's going to be done. Establishing, what's that called? Panjrapul, this hospital. Old age homes for cows. It's nice, but it doesn't. It in one sense, it perpetuates the problem by subscribing to the idea that old cows are a burden that have to be looked after, like old people. Just a burden. As far as beef, they want to ban beef. I say that, actually this is Prabhupada's problem, we'll give you free beef, but don't kill the cows. Wait for them to die and then we'll distribute the meat. But they don't want that. Who is that? Purna Brahma told me in Hyderabad there's a group of Muslims who are propagating don't eat beef, because in their community they're having so many horrible diseases. One girl in their community, she's 20 years old or so, she has some horrible disease by looks. She looks like a 70-year-old woman. So she went to an Ayurvedic doctor. First thing he told her, stop eating. Because they don't just eat meat, they eat lots of it. It's considered prestigious to eat lots of meat. If you only eat a little meat, actually, it may not be very bad for health. May not be. We see in the Western countries so many, George Bush Sr., he's 90 years plus old. It may not be very bad, but these people, they eat lots of it. And then it becomes extremely bad for health. Of course, it's very bad for bad karma to eat meat, even a little bit. But, so one organization is there, trying to tell people to stop eating beef because it's very bad for health, actually. And even you'll see people from the West, they come to India, they're advised, don't eat meat. Even if you eat meat in the West, don't eat it in India, because it's hanging in the shops with all the flies coming on it. And there's so much injection of the animals, full of hormones and all kinds of things. So that's a good platform. I often think, how can we reach out to the Muslims? And one platform is, if for the sake of health, if they stop eating meat, that's a good start. So that could be propagated. Vegetarianism is good for health. And it used to be that many people... vegetarianism first started to become popular in the West, I guess in the 1970s. And it was mostly for health reasons. But then having become vegetarian people, they started to understand how horrible it is to kill animals. It's wrong. And nowadays, the propagation is of vegetarianism mostly on ethical grounds. So it may be that even if for health reasons people become vegetarian, then later they get the idea, Atma upam yena sarvatra samam pashyati yojana sukam vayadi vadukam sayogi paramo mataha. They may get the idea, well, I suffer, the animals also suffer. Scientists just found out that processed meat causes cancer. Which scientists just found out? It's been going on. I heard that 40, 50 years ago. That processed meat is carcinogenic. But you don't have so much processed meat in this country. Red meat and processed meat. Processed meat is not very common. It's very much part of the Western world. Sausages. Spam. You know what spam is, right? Something to do with email. No, the word originally means it's a very cheap kind of meat which you buy in a can and it's processed. That means they mix it up with some chemicals, and they grind up some bones of some animals, and it's called spam. And that term also got used for for unwanted emails.
And it's funny, it's a joke, how it's literally a joke, how it became applied to that. You don't know. Should have a little prajalpa here, to little joke to lighten up things. It was a Monty Python sketch. Monty Python is the most famous comedy show in the last 50 years or so in Britain and America and Australia and all the English speaking. So they went into show someone, they go into a cheap restaurant and they say, well, what's available? And they say, well, there's spam. And there's also spam. You know, this spam is always very cheap. So there's fried spam, there's boiled spam, there's baked spam, there's spam pie, and there's spam. So the idea when there's just the same thing again and again, so when the emails come, just lots of it, so it got called spam. And now people think it was actually the name of a brand name of a company that made this meat called spam. So there you are. You learn some more useless information. Yeah, processed meat. The scientists just found out. Maybe they forgot. The first scientists who found out, they died from cancer. And then the meat companies buried their findings along with them, and now someone else found out. Hare Krishna. All right, so for what happened with the anaprasana? What's my suggestion? Didn't you already work that out? I'm supposed to do it now?
Yeah, I have told them, but now you said whether it is.
Ah, you can call it whatever you like. Put a spoon in a baby's mouth. It's no big thing. And have a little kirtan also. It's supposed to be a sanskar, actually. It's supposed to be a whole ceremony and mantras and puja and all this kind of thing. It's more than just sticking a spoon in a mouth. Question and answer session we can have on Monday. To those who want to ask questions, better you write down questions Monday morning instead of a regular class. Kirtan should go on. That will make up for all the missing vidhis. We'll put it there so I don't go. Wife can come also.